About a week ago, I subjected myself to about 45 minutes of a teens movie. And in that teens movie, there was a repetitive phrase that ran through it. For those texters amongst us, or those that like texting, or whatever the actual word is, an acronym, I think that's the correct description, is OMG, which I believe stands for Oh My God. Is that correct? Yes. And it sort of ran about eight times through this, and I was thinking about this afterwards, and I thought, well, I wonder what it means. Like, if you break it down to O, it's actually grammatically what they call an interjection. O meaning surprise, you know, awe, wonder, you know, caught out, whatever it might be. My is a possessive pronoun, means it belongs to you. It could also mean my, meaning also surprise. So you could have surprise, surprise, God, rather than oh my God, but it doesn't carry quite the same effect. I also wondered whether you could actually have a different oh my God, an oh my something else, you know, maybe a seasonal oh my, like oh my Christmas pudding, or oh my Rudolph, or oh my Santa. But I still felt that it didn't quite carry the same effect that oh my God. And you know, the thing about oh my God is that you can have it in different forms. You can do it very quickly, like an immediate surprise, like oh my God, or you can extend it. If it's a real surprise, it's oh my God. And you get different ways of saying it, don't you? And it all conveys this essence of surprise. Also, I thought you could have maybe sporty oh my Gods, like oh my Wayne, you know, is possible, or the runner, oh my Mo. I thought oh my Mo actually carried a bit of force about it, you know, oh my Mo, but it still doesn't carry quite the same as oh my God. Now, why did this all come into my mind? Well, I'll explain it to you. A few minutes ago, you saw a modern take on Joseph and the two angels informing him about Mary. I don't know if that's just a clip or whether there's much more of that, but I thought that was really good. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder if it was in modern day and there's Mary, you know, a bit like in that clip, and she's in her kitchen and she's cooking something or she's sweeping up or hoovering or whatever, and this 9-foot angel, you know, with massive great white wings appears in her front room or in the kitchen. You know what she's going to say, don't you? Oh my God. And I think it's actually going to be long, oh my God. This is no small fry affair. This is oh my God. And then I thought to myself, maybe when the angels appeared to Joseph, maybe again, but then I paused for a moment because oh my God is not generally a blokey thing, I don't think. I think it's mainly the female sex that says, oh my God, am I right on this, rather than men? I'm not sure. You can discuss this, okay? But it seems to be in all the movies I've ever seen, when oh my God is generally used by a woman or a girl, uses oh my God. But anyway, Joseph might have said oh my God when being confronted, a bit like the two girls on there, by the angels informing him that actually it was perfectly all right for Mary to be pregnant because it was by God, and it's all going to happen and Joseph doesn't need to worry. Again, it also might have occurred with the shepherds, because the shepherds were out there on a very calm, quiet night, so we're led to believe, lots of stars in the sky, very quiet, and suddenly there they are looking after their sheep and everything's very quiet and calm, and suddenly the whole sky is ablaze with angels and with light and sound, and they're singing glory to God and they're announcing the coming of Jesus. And you guess that might have been another, should blokes say this, another situation for oh my God. That's great, isn't it? You're thinking, well, where's this all going to? Well, I need to tell you this. Oh my God is in the Bible. Now, you might have thought that you invented it. You may have thought that the modern youth of today, over the last 10 years, with all their, you know, their technology, have invented this piece of communication which indicates surprise, like, for instance, when you text a piece of information about your friend's boyfriend who shouldn't be doing something years, and you say, as you read it, oh my God. You know, that's how it happens. Well, I want to tell you, the Bible had it first, just in case you're wondering. And I'd like to show you. There are some verses with oh my God in. I wonder if you could just pop a couple up on the screen for me. Here we go. I think the first one you'll find in the book of Nehemiah 13. Remember me, OMG. Now, you can have that as a sort of bit of poetry, really. Remember me, OMG, concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for its services. There we go. There's no my God. You know, after I've finished speaking this, you're never going to use oh my God again incorrectly. I have to say this. Okay, can we put the next one up? Here we go again. OMG, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season am I not and am not silent. Oh my God, once more. Last one I think is in Psalm 40. There we go. I delight to do your will, oh my God, and your law is within my heart. Of course, these are different expressions of oh my God to the way that, you know, modern youth use it. This actually is a reflection of how God belongs into the heart and life of the person who's expressing it. And I just thought it was interesting that actually in the Bible we have people who talk about their God in a very personal and a very close way. When they say, oh my God, they mean that God belongs to them, that God is in their lives, that God involves himself with what they do, that God is a participant in the everyday affairs of their comings and goings. It really is a God who is theirs. And, you know, we've seen bits and pieces of the story this morning about Jesus, and whether it's through the puppets or clips of video or the songs or the play, really. Just different examples of the coming of Jesus at this time of the year. We don't really know whether Jesus was born on December the 5th. I very much doubt if he was. We don't know whether he's actually born in July. It just happens to be the time of the year the church has decided that they will celebrate Jesus. So it's good for us to take a moment to remind ourselves that actually God, and I don't mean this in a very sort of a demeaning way as far as God is concerned, but God can really be ours. He can belong to us. The Bible says that God puts his Holy Spirit in our hearts, that we can know him and we can love him and we can belong to him and he can belong to us. So when we use the expression, oh my God, it's very different to how it's used as an expression of surprise. So I'd like to leave you with this thought this morning, that whenever you hear the phrase, oh my God, and I'm quite sure you're going to hear about it, think about it for a moment. Does Jesus really belong to me? Is he my God? Or is he somebody else's God? Or is he just a term which sort of just slightly edges on the blasphemous? It's not the same as saying, oh Christ, but there's a certain edge to it. And instead of it having that edge, what we have with it is a genuine sense that we're participating in the life of God, just like, this is David says this in the Psalms, King David says, I delight to do your will, oh my God who is mine, who belongs to me, a God who I love, who I walk with, who is part of my life, not a distant God, not a far-off God, but a God that is everything to me. And he goes on to say, not only are you my God, but more so, I delight to do your will, for your law is within my heart. And on that note, think about Christmas. And if you are here this morning and, you know, Christianity, religious things have not played a big part in your life, take a moment to think about giving God a chance. And maybe as you do that, you may find that this phrase, oh my God, becomes a reality to you. Truly, he becomes your God and your Lord. Amen.